This is one of those days I would like to never relive, I'll tell you that. Good evening. Jeff Bennett here on this ninth day of August. As some of you may have heard yesterday, I think, that I had to call in during the opening of the program. I was stuck on the road. It's insane what's going on out here. And could not get back in time, so we had to do a rebroadcast. I caught the last 15 minutes of it, and it was a good program to run. I actually got some interesting contacts, phone calls, emails, texts last night after that program, and thanking me for it. And some people requested I send the links out for that four-part series that we had done last year. And I had like 2 hours sleep last night because I was wrapped up in some preparations for something my wife and I are trying to get done. And it just all exploded and then imploded this morning. It's just crazy. And I'm not going to bore you with it all because it's nothing to get concerned about. But it ticks me off because it's something we really felt a need to do. And I just got tired of fighting the insanity of the entire world not knowing how to converse. Companies you're dealing with no longer have people. There's people that aren't working in this country, and they got all these people over in Formosa and the Philippines answering calls that don't speak with a damn. They're doing their best, but what? It's crazy. I'm on the computer too much. Why am I forced to live on the computer? I had an appointment with my doctor set up for a phone appointment today, and 10 minutes before we were scheduled to go on, my phone starts ringing, and this gal says, "Well, Mr. Bennett, you've got to sign in." I said, "I never had to sign in." Well, you know, we were going to have this video. Well, what a video, what? Well, apparently in the last 2 weeks, they've changed their entire policy. They no longer do telephone appointments to discuss. No, it's all got to be by video. It's insane. What the whole world has just become so computerized that I want to vomit, which, by the way, while we're bringing the computer thing up, there's a good chance I may not be here tomorrow. I've got my main computer's got to go in to my computer folks. I have been able to acquire a completely refurbished last of the previous generations of Mac computers, which is what my main computer is. This is not a laptop. It's a full screen, 27-inch, blah, 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 blah. Come on, you're getting older. My eyes are getting weak. I need large print. Anyway, I've got to get that computer in, so I'm going to be without it, and that's going to leave me some limitations as to updating websites for a few days. They've got to take this particular computer, get all the information transferred into the new one. This computer will still remain the same, but it's going to go in my mini studio. It just goes on and on and on. So bear with us, and hopefully by next Tuesday we'll be back up and running fully, and et cetera, et cetera. The interesting thing is, given the stress that I've been under this last couple of weeks, and this last week, to be honest, has been among the worst. I am somehow suffering and barely surviving with as little as two and a half hours of sleep a night. And last night was another one of those nights. And I had to get up. I had to get back on this project my wife and I are working on, and I finally got so fed up because, once again, I'm dealing with somebody in Formosa. And this company does not want to have live people talking to you. They want to do it all by the digital robots who can't answer your concerns or your questions. They just keep sending you a canned, texted response to what you're doing, and Anyway, the whole thing just imploded. But this particular program that we opened with tonight, Wednesdays, of course, we typically do health-related, cancer-related stuff, etc. It is the one piece of music that calms me down. It makes me actually feel good. Artie Shaw, Begin to Begin. Maybe there's days I should play that to open the program and just keep those words in mind. Of course, we close this hour with Ella Fitzgerald singing the same song. Last week, I believe it was, we shared a series of little bits and pieces of various different articles, many dealing with cancer. One of them was titled Fears of a Ticking Cancer Time Bomb, whereas they talked about a study which is showing hundreds of thousands of Americans missing out on a cancer diagnosis during COVID because hospitals were prioritizing the virus and the lockdowns, which left patients too scared to come forward. Well, maybe it's not a matter of just the patients were too scared to come forward. The hospitals weren't taking the people in because they had to concentrate on the jab, man. I mean, the article opens by saying U.S. facing a cancer time bomb because hundreds of thousands of patients missed out on a diagnosis during the COVID-19 pandemic. And a new analysis showed rates of new cancer patients fell by about 15% in 2020 as compared to 2019. That means maybe somewhere around 125,000 people didn't get diagnosed. And yet the true number of missed cancers could be even higher, possibly by hundreds of thousands based on other trends of diagnosis that had taken place. Now, that is all of that particular article that I feel a need to share. But let's move forward as we discuss cancer. Because cancer and other diseases are proving to be rapidly developing, specifically among people vaccinated against COVID-19. There's an awful lot of recorded cases of vaccine injuries, vaccine deaths during the plandemic. An oncologist in the UK wrote an open letter to the editor-in-chief of the medical journal BMJ, whereas he warned about the harmful effects of coronavirus vaccines that must be, quote, aired and debated immediately, especially since cancers and other diseases were quickly progressing among vaccinated people. Dr. Angus Dalgleish, a professor of oncology at St. George's University of London, sent a letter to Dr. Cameron Abbasi, the editor-in-chief of the BMJ. And Dalgleish's letter was written in support of a colleague's plea to Abbasi that the journal should make valid informed consent for COVID-19 vaccination a priority. For you see, COVID-19 theoretically no longer requires a vaccine program. And yet, in this country, and I'm sure in many others, as we maybe eventually stop living in this god-awful heat, things began to calm down a little bit out here, and now they're talking about it getting up into the high 118, 119 range again. So in this letter, Dalgleish wrote that the coronavirus does not need a vaccine program because the average age of death from COVID in the UK was 82 years of age. And yet the average age of death from all other causes was 81 and below. So let's see. Let's not give vaccines, which is fine, to people who are 82 because they're going to kick the bucket anyway. Well, he added that the link with clots and myocarditis and heart attacks and strokes currently well accepted, along with the link with health issues like myelitis and neuropathy. Now, if you're not familiar, myelitis is inflammation of the spinal cord. Neuropathy is characterized by nerve damage that occurs due to different health conditions like diabetes. Dagesh added that he and his colleagues had already predicted those side effects in their June 2020 article published in the journal QRB Discovery. But their blast analysis also revealed that 79% homologies to human epitopes, particularly P4F and myelin. And Dagesh warned that there was another important reason to halt all vaccine programs. Halt all vaccine programs. This is a guy I would love to talk with. The man's a doctor. And he's saying, cut the crap. Dagesh has seen stable disease rapidly progress in individuals after they were forced to get the booster shot. And it also witnessed people develop B-cell-based disease after getting the booster shot. And when asked, the people told them they felt unwell several days to weeks after getting the booster. And after Dalgish's personal contacts, one developed leukemia. Two work colleagues developed non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. You see, that's why there'll never be a cure for cancer or heart disease or liver disease or any other kind of disease, because there's too damn much money in it. Let's not be concerned about the health and the welfare and the et cetera, of the patient. Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I've got a piece that I posted on Dr. Kelly's Victory Over Cancer. And it's an old image, interestingly enough, from the British Association of Physicians and Surgeons. And up in the upper left below that heading says, your health is your wealth. And then over on the right side, house calls for your most utmost convenience. And there's a guy laying in bed. Obviously, he's ill. I mean, this is an old image. And standing at the side of his bed with a scalpel is the ghost about ready to take this guy's life. And below the image, modern medicine saves people who can afford it. Modern medicine saves people who can afford it. Maybe that should have been a question mark. Like, who can afford it? And then the advertisement gets into treatments for all manners of ailment and injury. Smallpox, cholera, scarlet fever, diphtheria, poliomyelitis, and consumption, and typhoid, and mumps, and measles, and rubella. Modern medicine saves people who can afford it. The question, of course, is, does it really? Let me reach over here and grab my cell phone. I've got to share a portion of a conversation that Dr. Fred and I had last week. Bear with me a second. because it just dawned on me that the program, I believe, that we did last week also dealt with the issue of the medical community and the students, the so-called doctors of the future, who don't seem to care. They don't stick around to learn more, etc. And let's see if I can find this thing. Well, our conversations go on quite interesting. Yeah, this was after the program we did in late July. You said after a crazy week, it was great to detox with your program. My buddies and I at our medical conferences know damn well what the med schools are doing. We remember how hard we all worked and sacrificed to give us a chance to be considered for admission to a medical school. And now, what a scary joke. The doctor says people are going to be harmed. They're going to die unnecessarily. He said a fellow classmate and a friend and friend is residency instructor at the University of Tennessee is frustrated over the new residents who will not stay later in the afternoon to observe, to learn procedures or diagnostic skills. It's unbelievable. He then went on to say politics has been coming into medicine for a very long time. It started back in the 70s with the quota system fueled by money from the federal government. Jesus, God. The government. The government just keeps pumping money into everything. Speaking about pumping, have you been pumped at the tank lately? Or pumped at the pump? I went out last night. Gas is up 20 cents. Now sitting up at 4.19 again. For what? For what reason? Maybe the people that have been charging their tank, i.e. their batteries, with their electric vehicles, in this heat, with all the problems that are going on, maybe they were forced to go to the garage and get their old gas car out again. What's going on? Why has there been this outrageous increase in the cost of a gallon of gas all of a sudden? It was starting to come down, not that it went very far. A barrel of oil currently ranging in the $70 to $80 a barrel range. When Biden's predecessor was in there, oil at one point had reached over $100 a barrel. And yet we were paying in the low to mid $2 and some odd cents a gallon. And yet now it's down between 20 and 30 bucks a gallon, but we're a barrel, but we're having to fork out a hell of a lot more money. Oh, that's right. We're summer. Everybody, the family vacations. That's right. No, kids in Arizona have already gone back to school. Back to Dr. Douglas. An old friend of his reported feeling like he had long COVID-19 since getting the booster shot. Experienced severe bone pain, diagnosed with multiple metastases from a rare B-cell disorder. And Dalyesh warned that based upon his experience, these cases were not the coincidental anecdotes that other experts may suggest. The same pattern being reported in other countries like Australia, Deutschland, that is Germany, and the U.S., and the reports of innate immune suppression after mRNA injection for several weeks also fits. particularly since all of these patients had melanoma or B-cell based cancers, which are very susceptible to immune control. And all of this has been previously recorded, even before the reports of suppressor gene suppression by the mRNA in lab experiments. Jesus God. Doug Leish warns that his concerns must be aired and debated immediately. And there was another article out there entitled History Repeats. Pfizer paid out $1.2 billion after its drug caused thousands of breast cancer patients. Oh, and so a couple of weeks ago when there was this huge fire and explosion and collapse at a Pfizer plant, everybody got so upset. Screw Pfizer. In his letter, Daglish talked about B-cell-based diseases and cancers. And according to the British Society for Immunology, B-cells have a crucial role in regulating immune response. Well, Bennett, we don't really care about what's going on with them Brits. Why? You think it's any different here? We're dealing with dysregulation of B-cell functions, which may result in adverse effects like autoimmunity, cancer, non-autoimmune inflammatory diseases, transplantation, chronic graft versus host diseases, and the spread of human immunodeficiency virus. You know what that is? HIV, baby. Is it a good portion of my life, I heard people making reference to the fact that life was catching up with people. Is it life that's catching up, or is it its alternative? The other side. Well, treating cancer patients at the front line, Daglish was shocked, dismayed by what he saw. He watched his relatives and friends gradually succumb to cancer after getting vaccinated, and witnessed rapidly growing and fulminating cancers or recurrences among people long cured or in remission from their cancers. And in some cases, the cancer had been gone for 25 years or more. And those cancers are occurring among people who were vaccinated. And Dalish thinks that COVID-19 booster injections could be triggering even more of those cases. In an interview with a Dr. Tess Lowry, a British program, I'm sure, Daglish discussed what he was witnessing in his close contacts, like his patients, his family, his friends. And he talked about the role of cheap, established, and generic medicines in treating cancer, and how those medications were being suppressed. Cheap, inexpensive, established, and generic medicines in treating cancer. In many respects, the direction that William Donald Kelly went to. But Dalglish warns that those who've been in remission for years are now starting to relapse after receiving the coronavirus booster. And while all this is going on, he continues to ask why it's happening. And he explained how his previous HIV research informed his understanding that the COVID vaccines were linked to clotting and neurological issues. Hmm. And he admitted when he talked to Tess Lowry, Doug East, that he and his colleagues raised the alarm, submitted their findings to the UK cabinet. But unfortunately, he lamented that no appropriate action had been taken despite their warnings. So you see, these kind of stories continue to happen all over the world, my friends. It doesn't matter if it's Great Britain, or the Falklands, or Finland, or San Francisco. Nothing truly changes. Truly amazing. Couple of other articles for you to consider. And this is one that has angered me for the better part of my life. Fluoridation. Extreme fluoride toxicity has now been exposed in a federal lawsuit against the EPA. If I'd thought about it. Let's see if we can find this thing. Michael, are you with me? Let's see if we can find this thing. He's either at the restroom or went to Circle K for a drink. Oh, come on. Let me see if I can find this thing. Just because I want to find it now, I'm not going to find it, right? War. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again. No, what I'm looking for is not there. I don't think it's there. Oh, let's just do it this way. Hang on. Because it's well worth listening to this thing. What the heck are we talking about here? Just bear with me. It's one of those things I was not prepared to do, and I realize it has to be done. Okay. Go into this. Oh, Bennett, you're so damn good at sickening. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got it. We got it. We got it. No, 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 no. I don't want to listen to that nonsense. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. All right, cut the stupid commercials. We don't care about the dumb commercials. There we can skip the ad. Okay, Michael, where are you? Michael. Say, where you is, man? Well, if you get in there, let's go ahead and air that thing. I mean, why not? But he's down the hall getting coffee. On the phone with his girlfriend. Well, let's get to it. I'll talk about this a little bit, and if he gets back in, come on, get it ready and put it on for me. Get it ready and play it. Interesting cartoon that I've been sitting on for a couple of years. The concept was done by Mike Adams. Got an interesting artist named Dan Berger. I'm not hearing anything from you. Why is that? That's strange. No, I'm not hearing from you at all. That's really weird. Hang on a second. No, I can't hear you. I can't hear you, TC. Let me do something here. Just bear with me, folks. I'm having one of these days, you know. Let's try this. Output. I don't know what to do. It's got to be something I've got set up. Okay, that's working. That's not. Let's do that. Let's try this. Try speaking now very quickly. Ah. Hey. Where am I hearing? Nah, that's not right.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
I don't know why this is doing... Oh, wait a minute. Try it now. Speak.
Hey!
The stupid... It was muted. All right, so give me just a second. I want to share this cartoon with people. It's called Water Main. And these two guys are in the water section, and they both got masks on. And the one guy says, "Watch out, Tommy. Don't spill it or we'll both be goners." And what they're doing is they're holding a big 50-gallon drum of fluoride. Because fluoride is so toxic that it's considered hazardous waste by the EPA. But we're drinking it, aren't we? Let's go with this audio clip. And we'll be back and talk about fluoride.
Mandrake.
Yes, Dad?
Have you ever seen a commie drink a glass of water?
Well, yeah, I can't say I have, Jack.
Vodka. That's what they drink, isn't it? Never water.
Well, I believe that's what they drink, Jack, yes.
On no account will a commie ever drink water, and not without good reason.
Oh, yes. I, can't quite see what you're getting at, Jack.
Water. That's what I'm getting at, water. Mandrake, water is the source of all life. 7/10 of this Earth's surface is water. Why do you realize that 70% of you is water?
Oh, Lord.
And as human beings, you and I need fresh, pure water to replenish our precious bodily fluids.
Yes.
Are you beginning to understand?
Yes.
Mandrake. Mandrake, have you never wondered why I drink only distilled water or rainwater and only pure grain alcohol?
Well, it did occur to me, Jack, yes.
Have you ever heard of a thing called fluoridation? Fluoridation of water?
Yes, I have heard of that, Jack, yes. Yes.
Well, do you know what it is?
No. No, I don't know what it is now.
Do you realize that fluoridation is the most monstrously conceived and dangerous communist plot we have ever had to face?
Game, soldier. That's nice shooting, soldier.
Much experience, you know, with those sort of machines, Jack. I've only ever pressed a button in my old Spitfire.
Mandrake, in the name of Her Majesty and the Continental Congress, come here and feed me this belt, boy.
Jack.
Well, we've gone
I'd love
past
to come,
the.
But what's happened? You see, the string in my leg's gone.
The what?
And the string. I never told you, but you see, got a
Where'd you go,
gammy
Michael?
Leg. Oh, dear. Gone, shot off.
Mandrake, come over here. The redcoats are coming. Come on.
Fluoridation. The year Dr. Strangelove came into the theaters was 1962, I believe. I went to see that film in its opening weekend. More so because I don't know why. One of my neighbors is going to see it. Wanted to know if I wanted to go. Sure, why not? Went down to the Glencoe Theater across the street from my uncle's filling station. Two uncles, two brothers. The film has never left me. We hear these little cuts and we remember the guy riding down the bomb. James Earl Jones was a pilot in that film. So many different things, and I look at George C. Scott, the comments that his character made in the film. I listened to some of the comments that were just made, not just as relates to fluoride, but you begin to go back and watch that movie and realize how we were warned. Yeah, to a degree it was a satire. But who would ever talk about fluoride, Mandrake? In 2016, there was a petition filed with the EPA, which then brought light to the negative health effects associated with fluoridation. The petition called on the EPA to, quote, protect the public and susceptible populations or subpopulations from the neurotoxic risks of fluoride by banning the addition of fluoridation chemicals to water. And for decades, municipal water sources have been medicated with fluoride and arsenic byproducts. And this decades-long medical experiment was intended to prevent tooth decay in the general population. But this mass experiment came with its own set of health risks and completely bypassed the informed consent principle. And that principle is that EPA, they ignored fluoride petition, paving the way for the historic lawsuit that could ban water fluoridation. But the petition was ignored by the EPA, which prompted the Fluoride Action Network, or FAN, and the Food and Water Watch to sue the EPA. And under the Toxic Substances Control Act, any citizen can sue the EPA if the agency rejects a petition to ban or regulate a toxic substance. Oh, and there's more than enough evidence included with the petitions to prove that mass water fluoridation causes harmful neurotoxic effects in the population. The very thing that the character in Dr. Strangelove brought to our attention in 1962. What? That's 60 some odd years ago, isn't it, folks? Wake up. And the petition included 180 published studies, approximately 2,500 pages of reference material showing that fluoride causes neurotoxicity and reduced the IQ. Maybe that's what's wrong with Joe Biden. His son was smoking dope and getting higher than a kite. And Joe Biden was drinking fluoridated water. Reduced his IQ, that's for sure.
Hot dog, Lily Bob.
Let's understand that what has happened here, the first time in 44 years that citizens brought a suit against the EPA using the Toxic Substances Control Act. And that lawsuit includes expert testimony from within the CDC and the EPA. And the testimonies concurred that fluoride is an environmental and human health toxin that is linked to specific harms in the human brain. And this lawsuit has even revealed government interference that sought to hide important scientific findings on the toxicity of fluoridation. Well, the next phase of the trial is going to include a systematic review of fluoride's neurotoxicity, and that was taken directly from the National Toxicology Program. Now, that report draft was publicized on March 15th of 2022, a year ago. And according to the Freedom of Information Act request, there was significant government interference preventing the release of that data. That trial would publicize an analysis entitled A Benchmark Dose Analysis for Maternal Pregnancy Urine Fluoride and IQ in Children. And with all of this, expert witnesses and scientists presented compelling case to ban fluoridation of municipal water supplies. I know, this doesn't excite you. What you drink may be causing you ill health. This is one of our categories on Dr. Kelly's site, Victory Over Cancer, or drkelly.net. Water everywhere. Not enough to drink. And this category is homage to Dr. Kelly, who was so against the intake of fluoridation in the human body through the public water or sewer systems. It's all dulled our senses. It's slowed us down mentally. There was a guy named Hitler who once experimented with the same chemicals. You may not be aware of the fact that as Kelly neared graduation, he was approached by the federal government. They offered him a job as what they referred to as the nation's first drug czar. Ask him what the job entailed. They basically wanted Kelly to go around the country and con every city and county and state into fluoridation. Yeah. Unbelievable. He basically told them to go screw themselves. Because he knew. Having been introduced to Kelly in early 1998, among the first things he discussed with me was the toxic nature of fluoride, how he had become aware of its dangers. And many years ago, I published a piece which was among the most devastating health-related issues of its time. And it was recently witnessed in many communities around the nation. Our elected misrepresentatives continue to make decisions for us without benefit of truth. this particular article I'm going to talk to you about was republished on our site on October 13th of last year. Oh, why is that? Because I keep bringing it back to the forefront. And the article is entitled Fluoride, Teeth, and the Atomic Bomb. And this article exposed the biggest ongoing medical experiment ever carried out by the United States government on an unsuspecting, ignorant, stupid population. And this story was commissioned by the Christian Science Monitor in early 1997. And when they got the final setting, they chose not to publish the findings. I became aware of its existence in maybe 2 years later, late 1999, maybe early 2000. I've continued to provide this article to a variety of readers on numerous websites, which I've been associated with, or in many cases not. It is an article that you can find on the Kelly website. Fluoride, Teeth, and the Atomic Bomb. Their opening words stated that some 50 years after the United States began adding fluoride to public water supplies to reduce cavities in children's teeth, declassified government documents shedding new light on the roots of that still controversial public health measure reveal the surprising connection between fluoride and the dawning of the nuclear age. And as the authors stated in their opening segment, 2/3 of U.S. public drinking water is fluoridated. Many municipalities still resist in practice because they disbelieve the government's assurances of safety. And since the days of World War II, when this nation prevailed by building the world's first atomic bomb, U.S. public health leaders have maintained that low doses of fluoride are safe for people and good for children's teeth. You need to understand some things. There is no article anywhere that I know of that was as intense as this particular one. Yeah. Unbelievable. I'm trying to scroll. I can't do it fast enough. Oh, boy. As I go through here, it just spooks the heck out of me. Man, I originally published this article on November the 16th of 2001. Republished it on September the 4th of 2013. Brought it back to the forefront in October of 2022. Fort Detrick, Maryland. At the time of the writing, the Army post at Fort Detrick had remained unfluoridated. And yet these words from the book of Ezekiel come back to haunt us, my friends. If the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes the life of one of them, that man will be taken away because of his sin, but I will hold the watchman accountable for his blood. I would strongly urge you to read Fluoride, Teeth, and the Atomic Bomb. It is powerful. Unbelievably powerful. And so, as I begin to look back on all of this, and I look back at what we're eating, what we're drinking, does it not upset you? If it doesn't, then you just don't get it. In the words of another character in the Hollywood filmland,
what we've got here is a failure to communicate.
And if I'm not getting through to here, if I've not gotten this through to you tonight, then that is a problem we're having, a failure to communicate. Dr. Howard Hu stated that the amount of fluoride uses in the water poses a threat to neurodevelopment similar to lead exposure. He says, it is my opinion to a reasonable degree of scientific certainty that the results of the element studies support the conclusion that fluoride is a developmental neurotoxicant at levels of internalized exposure seen in water fluoridation communities. All of this could ultimately force the EPA to establish a new reference level for fluoride, making it illegal to add the toxin to municipal water supplies. But I wouldn't get my hopes up. Not one iota. This kind of programming can become upsetting. And I fear that many people will ignore it because it's very disruptive to listen to commentaries such as this one that we've shared with you. Think about it. I don't want the needle. I don't want the jab. I don't want the water. When they begin, y'all take care of yourselves. You sit back. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Maybe I'll be here. Maybe I won't. And that's okay. But I will be back. I always am. Thanks for joining me tonight. With glass lifted on high, I say to health with you. Good night. I'm with you once more under the stars and down by the shore an orchestra's play. The palms seem to be
they begin the beginning. To live it again is past all endeavor, except when that tune clutches my heart. Divine, what rapture serene, till clouds came along to disperse the joys we had tasted. And now when I hear people curse the chance that was wasted, I know but too well what they mean.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.